And here we are on overtime. Welcome, everybody. Did we all make it over? Guys,
yes.
You all there in the chat line? Okay, great. You know, it strikes me that as things get more normal, overtime isn't going to be around, you know? It's become very popular, but we'd be clearing out of the studio right now and being kicked out onto the street. Can't really do overtime from there. Yeah, embrace it while you can, folks, because it's not going to be around much longer unless another pandemic comes by or unless we're banned from going inside the studio for some reason. I could see some scenarios where that play out.
Also possible. I did actually find out something I wanted to clarify from the show, which was said it was...
You are Muslim or...
yes. No, that's
Facebook is right. Okay.
Facebook is totally right. No, Alex said one show. I said the better part of a year. The truth is somewhere in between. We did our first show in the new studio on November 27th, 2019.
Really? So it wasn't that many then? It really wasn't that many?
It wasn't that many. It felt like a lot more.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it was several months, Alex. I said one, but I was kidding.
That's true. I don't know. It felt like we were in and out of that studio really quickly for some reason.
I have,
in the grander scheme of things.
I have a word from a contact at the station on the vast engineering team that wanted to make sure that we tempered our optimism because, well, they reminded me that we are still in a pandemic and, you know, if we returned... It could be a scenario where things change and we have to come back to this. So,
wait, if we go to the station, then the pandemic comes back? That's what they told you?
No, that it could be short-lived, you know, things being good. They seem good now, yes, but in many ways they could change.
Well, we know this. Why are we getting lectured? Look, New York City is reopening on May 19th. All I'm saying is that means that things are getting back to normal, and if you know, we are getting back to normal along with everything else... That's the natural order of things, right?
Yeah, but that this isn't over for, like, you know, permanently.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a possibility of needing to keep a distance. That's all.
Yeah,
and
we know this.
It took a lot to get to a point where we're realistically thinking about shedding some of the changes, so... That's all I wanted to convey.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. I think, you know, for the safety of staff and operations at the radio station, that's a good point.
Yeah,
it may not be the best thing. And no one's diving right into it. We're not having, like, an all-staff roller coaster party or something.
No, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about easing into it.
Yeah.
And what we're pointing out here, Broadway is reopening, you know, in September. And restaurants are reopening, so it's likely that the radio station will be opening again for people to actually come in fairly soon, like not 6 months from now, like maybe a month or two, maybe sooner, who knows. But well,
when is the roller coaster party?
I don't know. Nobody tells me anything. So... I wanted to continue what we were talking about, and of course we can take phone calls as well, 802-321-4225. But you know, we have gotten a couple of complaints from people saying they've tried to get through and they can't, and the same people keep calling. All right, you know, if you're new, if you haven't called before, this is an invitation for you to call now, 802-321-4225. If you're in an exotic place, and I'll leave it up to you to define what that might be, but generally, it's far away. It's a different country, a different part of the world, and you want to share that with us, give a call. Country code 1-802-321-4225. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about the evils of all sorts of things, various politicians, various corporations. But there was one story we didn't get to, and that's that the Biden administration is considering using outside firms to track extremist chatter by Americans online, an effort that would expand the government's ability to gather intelligence, but could draw criticism over surveillance of U.S. citizens. You think? Wow. I mean, I saw this story, and I was blown away. This can't be real. They're actually thinking of using some of these corporations to do what the government can't do under the guise of we're fighting extremism, we're fighting right-wing terrorism. Look, nobody wants to fight these things more than we do, but this ain't the way to do it. And I think we all know that. Alex, I'm curious, what have you heard of this story? Because this should be on the front page of every newspaper.
You know, I have not read that particular story, but what I would say is I'm not entirely certain I agree with you, Emmanuel. I think it's good when we disagree sometimes about this, because if what these private firms would be tracking are content that these individuals have posted online in some sort of public forum where others can see it, and it's not a private message, it's not a telephone conversation, it's not something that would require a wiretap or a warrant, then I frankly have no problem, because there's no expectation of privacy at that particular or for that particular content that they're putting online. There are lots of different firms that are hoovering up all of this type of information via various public APIs of social media companies. For instance, I track a lot of extremist activity in the global domain name system and within the DNS. I mean, every day I'm looking for extremist activity that relates to militia groups, extremist activity that relates to QAnon, and all these things. And look, they're doing this. They're putting it out there in a public record. And so I, as a private party, can track that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, okay, and you know well of what we're talking about right now. Like, the Department of Homeland Security, they're limited in how they can monitor citizens online without justification, and they're banned from activities like assuming false identities to gain access to private messaging apps that, say, the Proud Boys or Oath Keepers might be partaking in. Now, federal authorities can only browse through unprotected information on social media sites like Twitter and Facebook and other open online platforms. Now, a source familiar with the effort said it's not about decrypting data, but rather using outside entities who can legally access these private groups to gather large amounts of information that could help DHS identify key narratives as they emerge. Now, I know the FBI is involved in a lot of these investigations, but they need things called warrants to be able to search in various places that are not wide open to the public. And I just see a problem with bypassing all of that by, say, going to the companies themselves and having them turn over information on people that might be suspected of something. You know, what worries me about this is the massive amount of surveillance that all of a sudden the government could have access to that they did not have access to before.
I mean, perhaps, but it seems like what they're trying to do is make the investigative route shorter here, right? Because if what you said is correct, that these private parties have lawful access to these particular channels, maybe they're going to be Telegram channels or something like that, then it's quite possible that a federal agent, an FBI agent, or even a special agent from, let's say, you know, the Secret Service or some other law enforcement entity could also infiltrate that particular group, start hoovering up those particular messages, share them internally with the government without a warrant. So long as there's no expectation of privacy, a warrant isn't necessarily required, right? If it's not a home, think about the Fourth Amendment. Protects our persons, papers, effects, and anything in our home, right? It's, you know, that's the sacrosanct area here. Or if it relates to communications between two private parties, then the federal government would also need a warrant. So it seems like what they're doing here is using private entities to get access to places where a federal agent would be able to have access, but it would be difficult for them to infiltrate that particular group. They may not have those inroads. They may not have accounts on these particular forums or these websites. And so I don't necessarily see it as that problematic, because we are not looking at private communications here. Right? The other component, I think, of what the government is trying to do is access data that they would otherwise have lawful access to, perhaps through investigative means or through legal process, that they wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. So, for instance, let's say it's a chat platform that's hosted in Switzerland. They could go and get a warrant, but the Swiss entity may tell the federal government to go stuff it, you know, when handed with a U.S. warrant. You know, there are various, or these bulletproof hosting companies as well that tend to stifle legal process. So I see them trying to use private parties to cover their investigative shortfalls, so long as they're not crossing over into areas where a warrant would otherwise be needed. I think that it's reasonable.
But don't those shortfalls exist for a reason?
Not necessarily, no. They exist because it's just problematic or difficult for, let's say, a brand new FBI agent without a persona to get into a Russian hacking forum, something like that. It makes it much more difficult, whereas these private entities that already have these inroads into these communities that may have special personas that are built that are essentially cover personas, and then they're utilizing that type of access. But again, I should caveat this because I'm talking a lot when I haven't read the article.
Well, it's an article on CNN, and by the way, my concern is for domestic spying, not so much international spying. But actually, DHS responded to this CNN story, and they seem a bit more concerned about it than you actually are, Alex. They say they're not partnering with private firms to surveil suspected domestic terrorists online, and it's blatantly false to suggest that the department is using outside firms to circumvent its legal limits. So they seem a little offended by the implication.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right, is that they're not going around. They're not violating the law, right? So DHS or FBI or any of these agencies could go and do this themselves. So it's exactly what I'm saying here, is that they're not crossing over the limit and accessing information or data or communications, let's say intercepting communications, for which they would otherwise need a judicially authorized warrant.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, the real trouble here connects with what we were saying earlier about Facebook and YouTube, is that the idea that they would be transferring some of the investigative responsibility onto these private companies. We're already talking about how bad the private companies are at enforcing rules in the right manner when it involves like the 10 cents that somebody would make for a YouTube ad, or you know, we know that Facebook and Twitter are crap at keeping like the Nazis off and things like that. You know, they're bad at it, and the government is going, okay, you guys do it. Private industry is not going to do the right thing here, I don't think, by default. But, you know, and also when it comes to the DHS coming out and saying, oh, we're totally not doing something, I mean, when you're in the spying business, you don't always come out and admit to all the tools you're using, so I don't know how.
Well, those companies may be bad at keeping Nazis off, but they're good at keeping all kinds of data in their servers, data that the federal government does not have. Imagine, you know, all of your Facebook data, and we can say it's public-facing, but it's not supposed to be. If you limit it to the people that you consider to be your friends, and all of a sudden Facebook shares it with the world, you know, it wasn't the understanding. And to suddenly open it up so that these companies like Google and Facebook and Twitter that have all this this private information, and that's on us. That's on us for trusting them. That's something that I think is problematic. If all of a sudden the federal government, by extension, is able to get to that just by asking or by having the access granted to them. Kyle?
Weren't there similar scenarios with telecommunications, specifically wireless providers providing tower data? I feel like the hacker community has seen this kind of action before. I know in red teaming sometimes being able to, as a private entity, keep your activities outside of U.S. jurisdiction can sometimes help you perform your audit legally, and those types of tactics are not necessarily unusual. Also, leveraging and sort of, in this case, contracting private tech companies to do this kind of work, basically because they already have their hands on the information, seems like I don't know, not unlike what was done for the surveillance capitalism for creating dossiers of people to advertise to, but in this case it's you're expanding the amount of people that could be brought in. And I think that was the concern with the metadata or some of the telecommunications providers being able to just give metadata or information as a, for things that otherwise would have needed a warrant. In this case, it's we're just adapting one ability to another group or another subject, and I think the scope of that changing over time with administrations changing is also a concern.
Basically, whenever that happens, it's fought fiercely by people who care about privacy and freedom and things like that. But, you know, we also have to look towards to last summer and Trump's disastrous response to the riots in Portland, where the DHS actually collected all kinds of intelligence reports on journalists and private citizens. We've been down this road before. I don't think we want to go down it again. Go ahead, Alex.
One of the issues that that I could see arising from this, despite my mild defense of the practice, I would say, you know, without having read the entirety of the article, would be that if private contractors are doing this on behalf of the government, those private contractors are going to be subject to confidentiality requirements in those particular contracts, probably non-disclosure agreements as well. And the platforms themselves are not going to have any idea about the number of investigations that have been launched by the federal government on their platform, and neither will we, the people, as well. This type of investigation and this type of data that would come from these private parties are not, therefore, going to be subject to the various transparency reports that platforms like Facebook and other companies like Google or YouTube that they issue every year about how many requests they got from law enforcement, you know, using legal process, how many search warrants they executed, how many civil subpoenas they executed, et cetera. If all of this is done by way of private contractors, we're going to lose out on knowing exactly how active our governments are when it comes to investigating personas online. And I think that would be particularly problematic, and it gets again at the heart of the matter that we were discussing on the actual Off the Hook show, which is about transparency. And if we are expecting a greater level of transparency from these particular social media platforms, they're not going to be able to be transparent with us about this type of data if they don't have it in the first place.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we just played a piece where somebody was told that Beethoven didn't belong to Beethoven anymore, and it was an algorithm, a computer saying this, and there was no refuting it, and there was no way to actually get a human to weigh in. Imagine that. Being the final word in cases of surveillance and all sorts of other things. You know, we're talking about evil. We're talking about the evils of government. We're talking about the evils of massive corporations. Pairing the two together, I don't think it ever works in a good way for average people. I know there are issues with domestic terrorism and all sorts of hate speech out there. I think we can tackle that with what we've got. I don't think we need to have more as far as surveillance capabilities or partnerships between massive entities. I think we as people are well suited to fight this kind of thing. We underestimate ourselves so much as individuals and as collectives, the amount that we can do if we just band together and do things. You know, in Europe, they just defeated this thing called the Super League. You guys following this story? Basically, the richest teams in football wanted to split away from the hundreds and thousands of other teams and just kind of keep all the money for themselves and not have to compete against anyone else. The magic of football, I'm not going to go on sports for too long here, but the magic of football in Europe, and particularly in England, is that, theoretically at least, the smallest team can play the biggest team. The smallest team can beat the biggest team. The smallest team can advance. They can become champions. It never happens, but it's theoretically possible, and that it's that dream, that hope, that is part of the magic of the game. And what these people, led by American owners, I should say, who don't understand the sport, they wanted to say, no, you know, let's have all the big teams be the ones on TV all the time. Let's have them get all the profits. Year after year, we'll just have about 15 teams, and that's it. The fans reacted against that with such passion, that was enough. That was enough just getting out there onto the streets demanding that their game not be destroyed. In America, we don't seem to know that we can do that, that we can actually go out there and voice our opinion loudly, firmly, and for a long, long time. And that is what makes a difference. That's what gets results. So we need to be able to do things like that in cases involving domestic terrorism or government overreach or corporate overreach. People matter. Individuals matter. And we're always told that they don't. We're always told that we don't count, that it's not going to make a difference. Don't listen to those people.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the Super League thing, I think, it's a great example, right? I mean, these teams, they were basically trying to take the competition out of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just the people, but once the people rose up, the politicians rose up, the other teams rose up about this. It was a landslide of support to dismantle that idiotic idea. And it was an idiotic idea that would have made a lot of people a lot of money, and it was defeated pretty squarely and pretty quickly.
Imagine all the idiotic ideas that we are faced with every single day. You turn on the news and, oh my God, I can't believe what they're doing, and they get away with it. Why do they get away with it? Why do they get away with the voter suppression? Why do they get away with passing all these anti-abortion laws and just all these things that make it seem like we're moving backwards at such a fast rate? They get away with it because all we do is express outrage. And that's not enough. That's not enough to just express the outrage. You have to act as well. And I just think we need to awaken that in ourselves.
I was watching really early some of the financial channels. I like doing this because they have such a perverted sense of up and down.
It's a disturbing habit, Kyle.
It's sick. But they were so, how do I want to say it, flabbergasted at the possibility that Facebook would not have this overturned, that it would be upheld. And a couple minutes later, it was the banner and the chyron was Facebook fail. And and I realized they're all upset because they have money in this. They have been making a ton of money.
Exactly.
Shareholders have been making a lot of money, and they're mad because this might bring the stock down from, I don't know what it is, it's in the thousands or hundreds, who cares?
Who cares?
It'll bring it down a dollar or five or whatever, and they'll lose a margin of their investment. That's it.
Uh-huh.
It's so petty. They're willing, and they're so confident as they're, like, shocked and stunned and like, oh, we just heard the news. This is like 10 in the morning or whatever. Really beside themselves over just where Facebook went wrong and how they're just, failing in being Facebook. And I realized failing their bottom line.
Right.
And it was hilarious to watch because to me, this wasn't a hard take to compare the subject of this to anyone else requires comparing presidents of other countries, because we've not had presidents violate like this ever. And I think that is so easily forgotten when we start getting into the nuance of, you know, tech provenance in this country. It's so silly and, as I said, childish. Why are we consumed with the babysitters telling Facebook they can't have their dessert tonight or something? It's completely idiotic and insulting to our collective intelligence. And I just want to put that in perspective that, you know, even in being told to do the right thing, the shareholders, once again, who've been dictating so much, think this is a failing because they're going to lose, what, $3 or whatever, margin.
You know, you touch upon an amazing point here, a really important point, that they make a ton of money from all this hatred and vitriol that's out there. You know, why do you think Trump was on Twitter for so long, spouting forth all his craziness and nonsense? Because that's all people were talking about. And Twitter made money. Facebook made money. They all made a ton of money. But it got to the point where people were fed up. The insurrection on January 6th, that was the turning point. It wasn't Facebook, it wasn't Twitter that said, oh, we've had enough. No, it was them listening to all of their users who were demanding that this end already because they were fueling it. That is what happened. You cannot refute this. That is how it played out. So, you know, Facebook doesn't get brownie points from me for doing the right thing. They at least finally listened to what people were saying and did the minimum. And now they're questioning themselves, and they're being questioned over and over again. But companies have the right to decide who gets to play in the playground. And that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be tons of competition and alternatives and things like that. But again, you know, if we're talking about hate speech and neo-Nazis and things like that, they're going to find trouble at every turn. They're going to find trouble with a platform. They're going to find trouble with a provider. They're going to find opposition at every step. And that is on us. That's on nobody but individual people. We are the ones that did this. So we should own it and continue to make sure that this kind of hatred doesn't dictate the national dialogue like it has been. Alex, go ahead.
Sure. Just chiming in. I don't know if you realize how ridiculous one of the statements that you just said sounded, which is the tipping point was the insurrection. I mean, come on. Is that what it took for these platforms to make a move here? I mean, we sat through 4 years of Trump spouting disinformation, mm-hmm. racist and vile hatred, trying to discredit the media, the news organizations that are protected by, you know, not some minor amendment down the road, you know, like the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment of the goddamn Constitution. I mean, so yeah, the tipping point was the insurrection, but goddamn it, it shouldn't have taken that long.
No, but it could have been a lot earlier, I think, if we had been louder and more in certain people's faces. Hey, we have a phone call, I think. No, we don't have a phone call? What's going on, Carl?
It didn't come in on the special number. I think it may have been a different...
It's coming in again. So that's the phone that's ringing. All right, we have a phone call this time. Let's see if anybody's out there. Good evening. Is anyone out there? No, is anyone out there?
Hey.
Oh, there we go.
Hey,
okay.
Emmanuel.
How you doing?
All right, it's Bobcat.
What's up?
Okay. Very important things you've been talking about today, but I want everyone to know you can walk into many drugstores and get your vaccination just walking in, no questions asked.
That is correct. Can you walk into a 24-hour CVS and get your vaccine at 3 in the morning?
I don't know if you can do that, but I know that the nearest chain drugstore near me absolutely will do it when they're open.
That's awesome.
So that it's the most important thing we can do right now. I mean, it's terrible that people can do fake DMCA takedowns on YouTube, and there's a huge history about this going over 15 years, but everybody needs to get their vaccines right now.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
Okay. Someday we can talk about the fake DMCA takedowns that inspired the entire Gamergate thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to sign off soon, so thank you and good night.
All right, thanks for your call. And our phone number, I forgot about the phone number. It's 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And yes, you know, you can call if you're not new. You can call if you're not in an exotic place. You can call from, you know, we want to hear from our listeners, obviously. Rob, go ahead.
And also, thanks to our pal, Lucky225, you can call us toll-free if you want. That's 833-755-2600.
That's right. Those numbers don't cost anything somehow. 833 is magic. Is that all you had to say? I thought you were going to say something more. That's it?
No, I just like talking about free stuff. But yeah, I mean, Bobcat's right, of course. You know, get your vaccinations. Encourage the people around you to get your vaccinations. Because at this point, and I'm noticing this, there are TV ads going on and ads on streaming services now. If you're in the city, by the city, entreating people, please come get your vaccinations. You know, we need this to happen. We all need this to happen. And that starts with us. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, get yours and talk to the people around you about getting theirs.
And not only get your vaccination, but talk about why you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's still a really important part of the process because, you know, I did it because I wanted to get 5G in my head. That's why I did it.
All right. And, you know, what would make me happy is if somebody wrote to us at oth@2600.com and said, I wasn't going to get the vaccine, but I listened to you guys, and I was convinced to get the vaccine. And not only did I get the vaccine, but I told somebody else to get the vaccine. That would make me so happy because that would make me feel like we're actually getting something accomplished. I believe we have Bobson on the phone.
Yes, sir.
See, we have caller ID. We can tell now.
Yeah,
and you have this weird bunch of numbers because you're calling from Bulgaria.
That's not the weird bunch. It just starts with a certain country code. And
yeah,
all
weird
that.
Is good. It's weird for us.
Oh, well, it doesn't start with plus one, something, zero, something else, you mean?
It started with a three, believe it or not, but it's not important.
Well, I know it starts with a three, but is the problem that it doesn't start with a plus one on your end?
No, we don't have the plus one show up in caller ID. I wish we did, because that would make more sense.
Oh.
But
okay.
Listen, this is boring to most of the listeners. Bobson, have you gotten your vaccine?
We already spoke about it in previous week.
I
yes.
can't keep Why? Track of everybody. I did. So you did get it?
Yes, sir.
All right, great. Right. Good for you.
What's on your mind?
You were... After we spoke about it, you were mentioning how everybody you know seems to be vaccinated or something like that. So I felt some, as if I made a contribution to your view of the situation.
Well, I'm sorry for not remembering, but I'll remember now. I'm going to write it down, in fact, that Bobson got his vaccine.
Well, it's why we keep asking, because we're running out of people. Everybody seems to have gotten it.
Yeah, who
so
are these people not getting it?
We have to keep finding more people that aren't getting it.
Yeah. Do we know people who haven't gotten it in our circle?
I like what I saw on your Twitter about 280 people a year ago and 37 people this year.
I'm glad you remind me of that. Yeah, it was a year ago, I believe Monday, that 280 people in New York State died from COVID-19. And on Monday, 1 year later, that number was only 37. And that really shows that vaccines are working. But when that number is zero, that's when we will say, okay, We're at the stage now where this is no longer a threat.
So those numbers were statewide, not citywide?
Just statewide.
Statewide.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for
and not nationwide either. That was, but we still have...
Well, nationwide would have been a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were in a terrible state a year ago because, we were in a situation where it wasn't being taken seriously. And we can see that being played out now in Brazil and in India, where the death toll is reaching horrible heights. And that is going to affect the planet in general. I mean, we're doing well here now, but it's not going to count for much if the rest of the world isn't doing well in addition.
Yeah, the patent situation seems to have been resolved reasonably, or am I just...
Which has been
hearing things that are not.
What's been resolved?
The intellectual property thing.
Oh yeah, as of today, the U.S.
people to produce it who don't own the patents.
Right, the U.S. is on board with that as of today, so that's a great thing to hear.
Oh, that's today's news that the U.S. is pushing for that policy.
Yeah, and supposedly the EU is not yet on board, but hopefully they get on board.
It's really critical.
I hope so.
Yeah, there's several, I think, I want to say 10, maybe a little less than 10 facilities in India that were ready to or could be adapted quickly to come online and produce the vaccine to ramp up vaccinations in the midst of their increased infections there. So those examples are the kinds of scenarios where...
That's a need to happen situation.
If they're ready to go, this is the kind of moment where you kind of put that profit seeking aside and you get out to India and build some vaccine factories.
And nothing spells out how detrimental it is to have a populist in charge who questions science and thinks that he's above everything. nothing demonstrates how bad that is than a pandemic. And we've seen that happen, and you know, with Bolsonaro, we've seen that happen in India, and of course we saw it happening last year here. Boy, you know, I shudder to think where we might have been. You know, India could have been us. And the fact that we went through a whole year and it still happened to these countries where the leadership wasn't taking it seriously enough shows you how dangerous this thing still is.
There was some weird news that was mentioned on BBC today about someone who was Malian, and she gave birth to 9 babies at the same time.
Okay, I'm not sure why you're bringing that up, but that sounds fascinating.
Well, because it's only the 3rd recorded case of something like that.
Yeah, what do you, Bobson? What do you call it? They're not septuplets. They're not octuplets. What in God's name are they?
Non-uplets, I think, is the term.
Is that Rob? You're nodding. Is that true?
Yeah, in the Latin-based numbering scheme we use, it's non-uplets, I think.
Non-uplets.
Or non-tuplets.
That's a great name for a band. And it would have to have 9 people in it.
It's indeed non-uplets.
Can you imagine if the kids, if the kids that were born yesterday or today grow up to be a huge band of from Mali, or they were born in Morocco because the mother was transported to a facility.
You think?
And, wow.
Slightly high risk? Yeah, I think that probably was a good idea.
Well, they've got a reality show ready for them. So hopefully they all make it. And it's interesting. kind of strange. I fear we're straying a little bit from our topic. So, Bob, I'm going to ask, is there anything else that you'd like to close with?
Well, I hope that it's not too long before things turn post-pandemic, but we need the word from the WHO that it's over at some point. I hope it doesn't take too long.
I'm hoping for that as well, that we'll see each other at a hacker conference sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, that would be something to look forward to, yes.
Okay, well, listen, you got some sleep now. It's, what, 3 in the morning over there, right?
Well, no, it's after in, wait, 2 to 3 is the off the hook time, so yeah, 3 to 4 is... Well,
is that how you tell time by the radio show? Change. Most people have a clock that they look at.
Well, I have some timekeeping devices that I make use of occasionally.
That's
so, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Embrace the modern era. Bobson, always good to hear your voice. Stay well, and we hope to see you soon.
You too. Have a great night.
Take care.
Bye.
Alex, looks like you wanted to say something there.
Yeah, always great to have Bobson on.
Isn't it? You know, yeah. I want to do a show at a different time, like 12 hours from now, because when he's awake, you cannot stop him. He's bouncing around. It's singing sometimes. You can't keep up. And we always hear him when it's about 3 in the morning, his time. So he always sounds tired. But that's not who he is.
Yeah, you wouldn't recognize him.
Mm-mm.
It's amazing. But I'm glad that he called, and I'm also glad that he led us over to the issue of what's happening over in India and other parts of the world. And I think it does indeed, you know, tie back to the IP issues. And Kyle, you know, you said something too, which is interesting, because, you know, talking about India manufacturing vaccines, getting this capacity up. The ironic thing about India right now is they're the country that's suffering the most from the pandemic, but they are also the country that manufactures the most vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
They have the greatest manufacturing capacity for these vaccines right now, but they're exporting all of them. And it was this hubris that they had based off of Modi.
Yeah.
Who basically told the population that they were through the worst of it, they were done with this, they somehow escaped this relatively easily, and that, you know, it was okay to, you know, send thousands of people or tens of thousands of people together in the Ganges to have these religious ceremonies for people in close contact, and they became these super spreader events, and it really could affect the rest of the world. So suspending intellectual property rights, absolutely, I think it's going to enrage a lot of the pharmaceutical companies. But on the other hand as well, and this is where I think Kyle's point comes in, is that I do think that there is capacity that needs to be built for the creation of generic drugs based on patents that don't belong to the pharmaceutical industry but belong to the United States government. Because I think there are certain patents. One patent, I believe, is known as the 070 patent, which has to do with identifying and stabilizing the coronavirus spike, which is one of the first steps in the vaccine process. I know that the Moderna vaccine, the mRNA identification, relies on this, and a lot of the other vaccines will rely on patents that actually belong to the United States government. So the U.S. Trade Representative, Katherine Tai, who's been out there promoting this and saying, yes, this is what we believe now, we want intellectual property rights to be suspended, well, they can do that very easily with regard to their own patents and allow these generic drug manufacturers, allow these pharmaceutical companies in other countries to increase their capacity to build these generics around that. And I would certainly hope that our pharmaceutical industry would help them do that. You know, anecdotally as well, I'll tell you, other parts of the world that we think should be doing well, advanced countries in Africa like South Africa. I have a colleague that I speak with almost every day whose mother is in South Africa, and she's in her 90s. She still hasn't been vaccinated. She can't get an appointment for even her first vaccine. And she's not in some rural part of South Africa. It's just incredibly difficult to find these vaccines in other parts of the world, whereas we're so lucky here, like we were just talking about. You can go into a CVS and get vaccinated for several weeks now. You don't need an appointment in New York City. So there is a huge disparity here. We're never going to get through this thing if we allow variants to or mutations to occur, which would then allow variants to originate. This virus is going to be like a yo-yo unless we have a global effort.
I think Modi said that they conquered it, and then months or weeks later, it was like a monster returning or something like that, or a beast of some sort.
He'll have to build a bigger statue.
I don't know what but in the intervening weeks, he went to campaign rallies, as we indicated.
I think the people are going to turn on him. I really hope they do, because he is the reason this is happening. And we can't tolerate that kind of thing. We can't tolerate it. People deserve so much better than that. People deserve the truth. People don't deserve this anti-science rhetoric that we've been through for centuries. You know, we should know better by now.
One thing I'm hearing in the discussion, and it kind of comes out, is that the more we head this off and the more people are around, the more opportunities there will be in the future to build on this platform and have other drugs and vaccines to manufacture and make money. But if we don't get through it, there won't be anybody around to have as a customer. So let's put things into scope, and near and short-term goals should be reasonable and rational, not like something that acts as though we hadn't just been through an enormous cataclysmic human event in history.
The thing to remember is that nobody loses by ending the pandemic. All right, the pandemic is wiped out. Everybody wins. So let's not act like it's something that I'm pro-pandemic and you're pro-vaccine. That's how it's appearing. If you watch the cable news channels that have to have the conflict, much like the social media networks, that seems to be the argument. It makes absolutely no sense. We all want to survive. We all want this thing gone. And we have to work together to do that. Because if we continue to, in this country, not get the vaccine in greater numbers and reach a certain plateau, then we're basically saying, okay, you know, see you next year. We're going to have to get this vaccine every single year, probably for the rest of our lives. Or we can double down and wipe it off the face of the earth, like smallpox, like polio, which I don't think is completely wiped away, but you get my point. All right, our phone lines are open, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, or 833-755-2600 is our toll-free version of that. I'd like to hear from our listeners, and your opinions, your thoughts, your experiences, things like that. We're only out for a few more minutes. And, of course, you can always write to us, oth@2600.com. If you insist on using Twitter, you can tweet at us. Hacker Radio Show is our ID there. Rob, go ahead.
I despair at the fact that the pandemic seems to have been politicized into a thing that people are taking sides on, where you only believe it if you're on the side that believes it, and you don't believe it if you're on the side that doesn't believe it, because, you know, science doesn't care about your feelings or your party affiliations. And just we all need to do a lot of growing up just as a society if we're actually going to come together in any meaningful way. But the fact that we've let ourselves be divided and split up and enraged just by the 24-hour news cycle, the venues out there, the media empires that feed off of people being enraged and fighting with one another, the Fox Newses of the world, the Facebooks, the things like that, that have got us into this position. And, you know, if we can't pull our heads out of our asses long enough to fight an actual disease that is provable in every single scientific way as the problem that it is, and, that we all know people that have died, that have gotten sick, it's just when does the doublethink end? When do people pull their heads out and open their eyes and decide to do the right thing? It troubles me a lot.
Yeah. I think when we realize that we have the power to make change and that us being quiet is the same thing as us endorsing all the nonsense and negative thinking, that's when things change. And boy, things can change. They really can. You know, we brought up the Super League example in Europe. Everything we complain about in this country, whether it's the filibuster, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's the Supreme Court, all of this can change if people simply show up and demand change. But if you sit back and just act outraged and say, oh, look what this person said, look what this person did, can't believe it, we're never going to get anything done, guess what? Nothing will get done. Nothing will get done. Why do you think cops are being charged with murder now? Do you think it might have something to do with hundreds of thousands of people showing up in the streets and demanding change? Think it might have had something to do with that. People matter. People count. All right, we have a phone call on our toll-free line. I think I know who this is. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
So, was I who you were expecting?
Yes.
Okay.
You're exactly who I was expecting.
Okay.
No, actually, you're not. Go ahead. Didn't mean to freak you out.
No, you didn't freak me out. I think that Biden needs to concentrate on making things it easier and easier and easier for the people who are not willing to go to great lengths, instead of saying there's vaccine hesitancy and these scientists saying we can't do it to make it easier for the
It comes from a place of fear, I think, more than empowerment and showing people ways they are actually quite able to get vaccinated. So I would say you have a strong point there to a degree.
But I fear we're not going to, we may not be able to reach the levels we need. I got a phone call from my mother's cousin, and her vision is so blind she can't read, and all she hears is the right-wing crap that her husband listens to, and so she believes all this stuff that the vaccines are dangerous, and COVID is just a cold, and that hospitals get thousands of dollars bonus for every person they claim died of COVID who didn't.
You know, when people come up with these lies, you realize, you know, there's a part of me that always says, okay, this will convince them. This is the proof that we're waiting for. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, God himself could come down from the heavens and say, no, you're wrong, and they'd still find a way of not believing. you can't get through. You can't get through at a certain point. And you have to realize you're dealing with cult behavior here, and you have to act independently of it. And you have to help those people who still can be helped.
Yes. Hopefully there are enough people who can be persuaded to get it if we make it easy enough. And I'm so hopeful. In May, they're supposed to get it from emergency to full-fledged, and then all these different employers will be able to pressure their employees. You must get it once it's no longer emergency.
Oh, you're talking about emergency use authorization versus a fully authorized, safe and effective, normal,
yeah,
FDA-approved inoculation?
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe that'll be some advance. That'd be nice.
It does take the specter of something novel and the association of it being untested when that's not true. It does take that away when you get the EUA off of it.
So, caller, update us. You're totally vaccinated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great, great. And people in your social circles, any holdouts?
I do know someone in my social circle who, a couple of people in my social circle who they're not dead set against being vaccinated, but they've got all these excuses. I have to get my dental work taken care of first, and I can't get my dental care taken care of because of X, Y, Z, and the other. And it's a sixth of a mile away, and that's too far to walk.
I hear you. I see the same thing all the time. I don't know people personally, but I'm familiar with excuses like that. And you just have to push them. You really do.
Show people that you see the barriers that they're placing before you, but that you also are empathetic and you understand that they, at the same time, they are not their barriers. And they have agency, and you're there to help, possibly, to work around what they are putting forth as an insurmountable barrier. And that, I think, speaks to what you were saying about the kind of messaging, because it is sounding a little negative, and it should be a lot more like, how do we get vaccinated people to help other people? And, you know, what kind of exponential availability are we doing? How are we reconfiguring large vaccination sites into many smaller sites? What works? And I don't think that HHS really knows yet, or NHS.
You lure people into drugstores by saying, wow, this is amazing
no.
product that I think you would love. And, hey, as long as we're here, why don't you just go in the back there and get your shot and then just block the door until they do? I'm sorry. I'm ready to play hardball.
I heard something encouraging. They're having people come out, not just for people who are homebound, totally homebound, but for people who don't want to go out. And if they were willing to go to people's homes, if the people weren't willing to go out to them, then we could get these people who I can't walk a sixth of a mile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something a little scary about a man showing up at your apartment with a needle, but I guess if that's what it takes, you know.
Well, they've been invited.
Uh-huh, yes, yes. Any closing thoughts?
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for things to get better. I fear, you know, I keep track of how many days it takes to get to the next million cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this long list of how many days, and seeing them go up and going down and going up again.
Yeah. I'm watching the percentages of people who have been fully vaccinated. You know, and I want that number to go over 50%, because that'll be a plateau, I think, and then we're in the home stretch to getting to a point where we could, you know, actually be past everything.
Well, having kids be able to be vaccinated and having it required for school will definitely be helpful.
Yes, absolutely. And incentives, you know, incentives for people who do this. They have, they, for some reason, they're giving drinks to people that get shots in many areas. Shot and a chaser, they're calling it. You get a beer after you get your shot. Sure, if that works, whatever works.
The Mets and the Yankees have regular seating free for regular seating for people who are vaccinated, and free tickets to people who get vaccinated then and there.
Wow! So for those of us who already got vaccinated, we don't really get anything, do we?
Well,
that's not the point.
I not have to go to the Mets or the Yankees.
Touche. All right, thanks for calling. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, you know, I think we have time for maybe one more call. 802-321-4225, 802-321-4225, which, of course, spells hack. Alex, it looks like you're about to say something clever.
I think maybe too clever. So I'm gonna hold it back, actually.
Yeah, you don't want to be too clever, Alex.
This is YouTube.
That's certainly right. Well, I guess. You know, I was going to say, you do get something for being vaccinated. You get to live. You know, that's the best thing you can get from the vaccine, right, is life, right? Who needs the Mets or the Yankees when we can all still breathe and see and feel and touch and taste? It's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's. I look forward to actually going outside and doing things again. I think we're all pretty much past the 2 week after the second shot point. So
yeah.
have we been doing additional things that we wouldn't have done before?
I went to a restaurant.
Oh, tell us, what was that like?
It was great. You know, it was interesting. The menu was exclusively on the website, and you know, I watched a table of an older couple get seated, and they were a little confused by that piece of it.
Hang on, they don't hand you a menu. You have to go.
They do not hand you a menu. You either have to go to the website by yourself or scan the QR code that's posted on the wall.
I have a question that will probably annoy people, but what if you don't have a phone?
I don't know.
What are you doing in this century?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Digital dinosaur.
Maybe some helpful youngster
Although,
from the next table
you know,
will help you out.
I have a colleague who has a flip phone. So I don't know what he would do. But no, it was lovely. We were in a little sidewalk shed. There was one moment where the wind kicked up and the dividers between two tables got a little wibbly. And, you know, our server was concerned that it had hit us. But it was great. There was mask compliance and the food was good.
And you were outside, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were they seating people inside as well?
If they were, I didn't see it. The only people I saw go into the restaurant itself were employees.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd probably feel like going outside more than inside. Although, you know, I have been inside in various places, mm-hmm. but you wear your mask as much as possible. You keep mm-hmm. distance as much as possible. And, keeping in mind the numbers, you should be okay as long as you don't and you're vaccinated. But, you know, there is some uncertainty.
I went to a bar that had a couple people and, like, music, like mm-hmm. a DJ, and that was a first because performing and, like, you know, bars weren't really doing anything like that, and it's strange because some people are really comfortable with, like, no masks and just, like, having their drinks. They've been like that for maybe weeks, too comfortable with just being indoors and acting as though no behavioral changes are necessary. Here I come in off the street wearing the kinds of precaution, like masks and stuff. But once I'm inside, I, of course, want to take a sip without PPE in the way. So you have to kind of join that at a certain point. And I mentioned this the other day, and it's been like an adjustment. I think for a lot of people it is. To be comfortable and acknowledge that it's still a little bit uncertain, but that it's not as necessary. Like you're saying, you watch the numbers. Okay, so there's however many people inside. You don't have to break it down so analytically, but it's in the back of my mind still, even if I'm trying to, like, not be anxious about it.
Well, and think about it. If you're going into a place, and say there's, you know, 10 people in there, and all those 10 people have taken precautions. They've all gotten vaccinated, or they're continuing to wear a face mask, or they're not actually eating. That's safe. As far as I can see, that is safe. If you go into a similar environment, though, where you don't know if people are being smart, you know, and where people are likely to just do whatever they feel like, well, then that's not safe. It's, you know, and that'll keep you from going out. That'll keep you from enjoying yourself. How does that benefit anybody? That's what we're facing here. You know, it's basically, are people being smart, or are they being irresponsible? And that dictates our pace of recovery. Rob?
Talking of irresponsibility, though, one thing we have to consider with outdoor dining, there's a video going around Twitter by someone called Katie Penick, who uses a wheelchair, and she demonstrated in this video trying to get around the sidewalks where there's outdoor dining set up and how it's completely blocking her access. And so, you know, it's great that we have outdoor dining. It's great that we can start getting out there again, but these things have to be done in a responsible manner that doesn't impinge upon the rights to freely move about of our fellow human beings.
So what's the solution? So we have to come up with solutions to these problems. Outdoor dining can't impede wheelchair access, obviously. So how do we fix that?
That's an excellent question. But, you know, it's a simple matter, I think, to leave a reasonable amount of space, even if that means you don't get to put out as many tables if you're a restaurant.
Okay.
But you know, these things need addressing on a case by case basis and in a responsible manner.
Yes, absolutely. Not much to ask, it really isn't. All right. You know, I don't think we're gonna get that last phone call. So we're tired. We're a little cranky. We want to get on with our lives. I want to thank everybody for listening. People who called in, people who are hopefully writing to us, oth@2600.com. Please let us know your experiences, thoughts, things like that. I would like to hear from somebody who got the vaccine because of hearing us.
Tell us about something that you hacked.
Yeah, that too. Remember hacking?
Or something that you notice has been hacked.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on out there to notice. So we want to hear from you. Folks, any final thoughts from out there in Skype land?
I believe we're preempted next week, so we should put that out.
I didn't know that. We're preempted next week? Wow, okay.
According to list, we are preempted next week.
Oh, well, that would have been nice to tell people on the show, people who listen over the air. Okay, we're preempted next week. Well, then, we should do something else. Let's confirm that, and we'll announce it on Twitter, I guess.
Are there hacker meetings, Rob, in the virtual land?
Well, first of all, it's not the beginning of the month anymore, is it?
Is
it? Hold on. Today is
May 5th. May 1st was a Saturday. So
oh, okay. So
this Friday is the first
the
Friday.
The last possible day. Yes.
Yeah, so, I supposed to ask?
Yeah, no, you were right. You totally were right,
Rob. I thought I served that up.
I just thought it was more into May than it was. So, yeah, Rob, what's going on?
Well, there are still no 2600 meetings in person. That has not been restarted, but a lot of 2600 meeting groups have had their virtual events going to try and keep everyone in touch and, you know, provide some semblance of community. And we are doing that as well. Keep an eye on nyc2600.net for the info for the meeting here in New York, and find your local 2600 meeting groups if you are elsewhere and see if they're doing any sort of internet-based meeting or meeting in a safe manner somewhere.
The meeting section on the 2600.com website will, of course, update you on that. And I know we're going to be having some announcements probably, if not the end of this month, the beginning of next month. So things are changing, moving ahead, and we'll have a lot more to say about that. But for now, status quo, staying the same, and looking forward to getting back to some semblance of normalcy. How much? That depends on the rest of us and how much we progress. Fingers crossed. Good night, everybody.